Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 663. This is Kevin DeFrango on the other end for the first time in all too long. Shahid, how are you doing, good sir?
I am doing fine. It is wonderful to do a show on a weeknight, not on a weekend. I am back in the saddle. No, last time I was on the show, that's about two Raw announcers ago.
Oh yeah, that has been a thing. That was something interesting about last night, at least. I've got to admit, what is his name? Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy Smith.
Good gravy.
I mean, a name so plain, you only have to give him a fake one.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, I mean, that is the plainest name ever.
You know what's funny about that? With Saxton and Graves there, they just need somebody to be confident.
Oh.
That's all. Like, at least in the beginning, because it's kind of... Because one thing I have noticed with commentary, like, unless they're very good or very bad, they're normally not noticeable, and that's a good thing. Because I tend to notice, like, the colored people more.
Yeah, and I thought he Adnan Virk was just didn't seem ready for it in any way, shape, or form.
It's a tough job, contrary to people thinking.
yeah, I do realize looking back on quite a few years of Stunt Granny shows. That maybe a little too hard on Michael Cole in the early going.
I mean, it took Michael Cole about 4 to 5 years to get decent. And Michael Cole has been doing it since the late 90s. I think we got spoiled because, you know, most people remember Jim. By the time we remember Jim Ross had been doing it for a long time.
Oh. And
same thing like Shivani. Like, they had been doing it. And it's like, oh, I remember Gorilla Monsoon, and yada, yada. Gorilla Monsoon is great when you're eight. it's a bit like a lot of things when you're kids, a lot different when you're grown up. So we tend to kind of like brush it off because WD had a whole bunch of competent people, so you don't really notice when they're bad. Like, you know, you think about Vic Joseph and Ty Phillips, and you're like, are they that good or that bad? I'm like, compared to what they could be, they're fine. And a lot of times, you don't realize what fine is until you hear bad. And then you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of those fines was another one of the people let go. I mean, I did laugh that we talked about Tom Phillips taking over the shows again, and he was summarily fired. Or let go, however they want to color code that.
She just kept him, basically. And it was funny because, you know, they let him go. They let Samoa Joe go. And I'm like, at first, something else. Corey Graves on both shows. Instead, Pat McAfee, who's had the strangest career arc of anyone I can think of in memory, is on SmackDown. And you know what? I like him, even though I should. Like, he is obnoxious and an asshole. But I like him because he's not mean spirited. Like, he's having fun. I know, like, Cole does best when it has somebody kind of shake him up a little bit. And you can tell, like, Cole is kind of looking at him like, you know, it's my annoying cousin over for a sleepover.
Oh, yeah. I forget there was some look of shame that Michael Cole gave him for doing something, and I was just howling.
Oh, the Nakamura, the air guitar when Nakamura came out.
Yeah, that's what it was.
While Cole was bobbing his head to it, too, and then had to step himself, like, no, I'm a grown up, I can't be doing this. And it's just kind of, and it's funny where McAfee went from, you know, being a punter that's well known, which is hard to do, to, you know, leaving money on the table to do radio and podcasts, to being a having a pretty decent wrestling match, to being a great manager, to now be a SmackDown, you know, color commentator on, like, and that SmackDown is WWE's A show. And he feels like loves Cole because Cole is professional. If you're bad with Michael Cole, then you're bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Michael Cole, I feel like he's well beyond competent at this point. It's just that he's playing. Like, I don't think anyone's ever going to pine for the days of Michael Cole, but he does everything that you need of a WWE announcer.
I'm a Michael Cole fan. I think Michael Cole is better. Like, I've seen enough of great Michael Cole to know that he is good. Like, he doesn't have to be great on SmackDown week in and week out because it doesn't allow him. It doesn't call for him to be great. But we saw what he did, like, NXT UK. We did, like, you know, NXT shows. And definitely like a WrestleMania. Like, you know, he has gravitas. Like, he's basically, and it kind of sounds blasphemous, true. He is Jim Ross. Like, he's the new Jim Ross of WWE, where it's kind of like, you know, he's the lead announcer. He has weight. When he says something, it matters. Like, WrestleMania stood out because it's a simple line. I remember when Belair was about to fight Sasha Banks. He came out. First time two black women made a bid at WrestleMania. And then just let it breathe. Everybody else kind of danced around and saying it's not about race, it's not a big deal, and he came out and said it. He didn't put any qualifiers on it, he didn't dance around it, he said it straight up, and it was like, wow. And only Cole could get away with that.
Yeah. Anyone else would probably be getting the CLA Future Endeavors line. If you tried to step out of line, but Michael Cole can, like you said, I mean, he can do what he wants at this point. Like, I don't think he throws his weight around, per se, but...
He could if he wanted to.
Yes.
And it's funny thinking that, but, like, he's been there long enough, and he has enough cachet there, it's like, you know, if he wanted to be a bully, he could be, within reason, get away with it, but it's more kind of like, I'm a guy, man. Trying to make things easier for the next generation because it's kind of like, you know, he settled. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame, which is going to be hilarious when it happens, but it's going to be well earned. And you know, people won't look back like, wow, Michael Cole's been doing it for a long time. He's been doing it for a long time. And it kind of stands out because guess what I did this past weekend? I actually spent my money and ordered an AEW pay-per-view. Yeah, I didn't get it off a Fire Stick. I didn't get off some, you know, Slovakian feed. What a lot of people doing. Like, I actually, I still have cable. I went to cable, paid $49.99 to order double or nothing. And, I'm someone who doesn't watch AEW on a regular, but watches enough to kind of know what's going on. And One thing kind of stood out while watching AEW. It has great matches that's kind of booked for a fan that's really not me. Like, some of the decisions they make kind of just have me befuddled. You want to know an example?
Sure.
I have plenty of examples.
Yeah.
So, what are the...
I guess I should fill in. I didn't watch it at all. I have read reviews because, you know, why wouldn't... I knew I wasn't going to pay up for this one, because, I can afford it. I'm not going to get it through some Slovakian provider. Like, this is not necessary. But, you know, had things to do Sunday night, so don't watch it live. And I knew I wasn't going to watch it on Monday either, so I just figured it was best not to pay for it.
Smart, man. So one of the reasons why I ordered it was because of the buzz between Cody Rhodes and Abby Ogogo. And I saw, you know, the interaction they had on AEW. And I've heard the promos they kind of cut on, you know, social media and everything like that. And, like, Abby Ogogo's, like, you know, British guy, biracial, you know, Olympic medalist. And he's basically cutting promos like, you know, Americans don't know any better. They got trash, you know, trash healthcare. And they're big, like, you know, they're bigoted. Yada, yada, yada. It is funny. As a black man, nothing that Cody Rhodes was saying came off heelish to me. Because everything he said was telling the truth. Cody Rhodes, meanwhile, is cutting this, you know, like he's rocky about this 1985. I love being American. And my child is half. like, well, maybe that's the point. Because people are telling me Cody Rhodes is smart. And, of course, he's being a heel. And he's doing that. He's being oblivious heel. And he's trying to get booed. Have Anthony Ogogo chair. And even though he's saying Anthony Ogogo has no business being in the ring with him and can't hang with him, it's set up fine. Okay. I disagree based on things I've heard about how Cody Rhodes carries himself. But I'll give it a chance. So imagine my surprise when I see Cody Rhodes come out. And you know what started trending on Twitter?
Oh.
Homelander.
Homelander?
From The Boys.
Oh, I am not familiar with... I have not dug into The Boys yet.
Homelander is basically a fascist version of Superman.
Okay.
And Cody Rhodes comes out dressed in the, you know, the Stars and Stripes and the grandson of a plumber, the son of American, the American dream, father of a child, future father. And I'm sitting here like, witness this. Like, all he's missing is James Brown singing in America.
And oh, that would have been great. Say, hologram James Brown.
And I would just say, if you're one of your faces of your company is being compared to a fascist superhero, that is not a good look. And then the match goes, and it's an okay match, and Mr., you know, comply with, you know, comply and all that matter with the cop killer. And the crowd barely claps, and I'm sitting here, I'm like, imagine Triple H versus Booker T, but they said Triple H was the baby face. Yeah, so that was already after watching John Moxley and Eddie Kingston have a great tag team match with the corny ass Young Bucks, and then the Young Bucks win. And it's like, you know, Kingston and Moxley came off like rock stars. They did authentic music, the fans love them. The Young Bucks, that's all I'll say about them.
Yeah.
I know they have a following. I know their whole shtick. It is not mine at all. I saw the match and I'm like, you tell the story, that's fine. But it's like, that kept happening. What set me off was the women's match with Britt Baker for Sheena. And the way they tried to have it kicked. Because all I heard was, Britt Baker, this is her time. She's the up-and-comer. She held down the division, and she's a rising star. And she didn't feel jealous because she didn't have the spotlight on. I'm like, didn't I just see them brag about her being champ for over a year? Like, I don't even watch AEW that much. Every time I turn on, the camera's on Britt Baker. But she wasn't the champion. It's all about her. And then tell the story like she's this plucky babyface, even though she's a heel that's cheating. You know, Rebel tries to interfere, hits Rick by accident, Rick kicks out a 2 count, and it's like, you know, oh wow, what a kick out. I'm like, what? Rick cheats and wins, and then she gets hugged by Tony Schiavone.
They have a weird set, because Schiavone is friends with her. It's a really weird dynamic that they have working with that whole situation.
Could you imagine if Bailey cheated to beat Bianca Belair and then hugged Michael Cole and Michael Cole hugged her back and they made out like this hero's journey? Even though, like, last time I checked, Britt Baker is a heel. She wrestled like a heel. She was cheating like a heel. And they treat her like, you know, she's the baby face. And they try to make Sheena feel like Sheena must feel a certain way. Yeah, I would feel a certain way if I'm the champ and y'all push me to the side. Story, not like what I'm watching isn't matching the story they're telling. It's like you can't have, like, it's like they switch roles. It's kind of like the only reason Britt Baker is, you know, it is pushed is because she fits a certain demographic. Fine. But don't have her be the heel and then treat her like a hero. Don't have Cody Rhodes acting like, you know, George Patton in 2021. They'd be surprised if people kind of look at it that way. Like, that kept happening too much.
Oh. You know?
It's like, they booking these people, like, there's too many times watching the match, I'm like, oh, alright. When the match was over, like, oh, it's a great match, it's a different one. And that just kept happening over and over again. And I also made the joke, like, basically, if you are not white, good luck winning. Because it was, boy, let's just say it was tough sledding. Besides, Sammy Guevara was on the right side. Everybody else caught those L's.
Oh, man. I thought, well, the one that was the weirdest to me, at least in that department, that caught my eye when looking at the show, I'm like, hold on, you take the time out to introduce this whole wild card in your... what is now a trademark battle royal, the casino battle royal, and call him your wild card, and then you have Jungle Boy win another chance at something again?
Japan star Leo Rush win? You have Jungle Boy, because Jungle Boy has a song you can sing to.
I mean, I like Jungle Boy a lot, but it's just like, okay, he's had his chances. It's time for someone else to be in those spots for a little while here. That one kind of stood out to me.
Yes, it also stood out to me as well. Like, I'm sitting here, it's kind of like you get these stars, and the fans are getting hyped for it, and it's the same people, you know, it's people winning like that. You know, that's fine. Although I will say this, I will get this old ass man. He is kind of like, I'm gonna leave it all out on the table. I don't know how smart that is. I'm sure he's gonna be feeling that for like 3 weeks. But him doing cold rinse and plunges at his age is just hilarious. But it's like, he's gonna try to earn that money. I don't know if he should be trying to earn that. It was basically match after match like that. And then you have the title match where it's kind of like the crowd went more intense than me. I know why Kenny Omega won. Kenny Omega in the ring is great. Kenny Omega character is a cornball. And,
you know,
there's another one like, I guess. Like the match ends, it makes sense when you just keep kind of like, it reminds me of Triple H. In a bad way, where it's like, yeah, I guess it makes sense, but I'm not happy when the show's over.
Yeah, I can understand that. Like, I mean, it's, yeah. I have a lot of the same problems with the character flaws. Like, it doesn't, Orange Cassidy seemed thrust into this matchup for reasons I don't completely understand after he'd been kind of derailed, honestly, with his push. And Pac is just, whether it's been coronavirus related or injury related, just doesn't seem to be able to stay on TV. Like the only story that they have is that he has beaten Kenny Omega in past matchups. Which I guess is a lot, really, but...
whatever works. It's not like the fans were definitely like Pac wasn't necessarily that match, and the fans were definitely behind Orange Cassidy. But at no point did I think Orange, like, even though they had a lot of people, I'm like, they not gonna have Orange Cassidy win. Even though it's the type of thing where it's like, you know, strike while the iron's hot. It's like, if you have a plan, you stick to the plan, but you never reach it, not soon. And I don't watch AEW enough to criticize their plan, but I'm just watching them like, all right. I'll say this. The last match, the Stampede Stadium match, was fun. It was very fun. And although I would not guess Chris Jericho to get propelling like a Metal Gear Solid game. Yes, they repelled in the stadium.
Yeah, that was...
They had the camera zoomed in to make sure. No, these aren't stunt-ups.
Yeah, that's one of those things where it's kind of interesting just because of the, let's say, history with such repelling acts that I do not feel like they're done very much anymore. But people do this quite safely frequently, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know,
I mean, if anyone who's one of those wall climbing, indoor wall climbing, is basically done that going down. I've done it before, so it's not that height, but high enough. So it's like, I'm not worried about the, if they know what they're doing, I'm not worried about too much. It's just a privacy. I hear Jericho saying, "Oh yeah, we got one of the Stuck Warriors from John Wood to help us, you know, with the match." I'm like, "Good, if you're gonna do it right." Although, see, Urban Meyer and Charlie Strong cameos just had me rolling.
I mean, that should be their goal, though, I would think.
Yeah. The match was different. For that type of match, they were definitely well done. They split up in different segments and have, like, different battles, almost like a movie was the smart thing to do.
Okay.
Although, boy, the vibe in that bar between Tully Blanchard dressing in a way he should not have been dressing at his age, Conan being the DJ, and it's just like a lot of, you know, just callbacks. You know, the golf cart makes an appearance again. Is Sean Spears giving on the massive chairs?
Yeah, he's the chairman.
Okay, so that makes sense why he's in a room full of chairs and he's throwing chairs at people. I like this, like a, it reminds me of Enter the Dragon. I'm like, okay, this must be part of his gimmick because otherwise this is just weird. But the man, you know, the match was fun and it ended in the rain and people were singing that song. Although I thought that was a beautiful, but like I said, I don't watch enough to comment on that. It seemed like it was like heels versus heels.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. They're kind of positioning the Inner Circle as baby faces, but they've been heels the whole time along, so the only reason they're baby faces is because the Pinnacle or even bigger jerks. Yeah.
He's my friend. And it ended on a good note, and I actually enjoyed that match. And it kind of made up for the majority of the show that I did not enjoy how the matches ended. But I'm kind of like, I didn't regret spending the money.
Oh.
Although, and there were times where I did regret spending the money. But if I would do all over again, I would do it. And I had more time to watch the end up because it's on a different day than NXT. So I decided to give effort to watch it. I don't know if I'm going to make it part of my normal Wednesdays because it's a lot of wrestling. Times are the freedom. But, you know, it's good to have a situation where it's like, you know, viable wrestling groups. And it's not like one feels fine. Like, there's two major league wrestling groups that has money invested in them. They're aware of each other, and they don't pretend like the other doesn't exist, and they kind of work together when they need to, and they acknowledge each other when they do. And I think part of the reason why I ordered this, kind of like, you know, the New Japan talk, too. Just to see how they, like, oh, they're going to have Okada job the Roman Reigns. Stop being nerds, for God's sake, to see what happens. Like, relax.
Well, I mean, he should be jobbing to Roman Reigns, so I mean, what's the problem?
Yeah, like, Roman Reigns is a movie star. Roman Reigns is about to be a movie star, right? But WWE, like, I was talking to somebody else, it's a different wrestling environment. Like, back in the day, WWE, ever since WCW went out of business, WWE could pretend to be the only show in town. No one knows about anyone else to an extent where we have to pay attention to them, so we don't have to. Now, it's kind of like, people know who Japan is. Like, they knew back in the 90s if you watched WCW. But enough people know about New Japan now, where it's kind of like, you can work with them. And WWE has made an effort to say, you know what, we're not going to be China. We're going to be isolation. It's like, it's just us and everybody else to try to make an effort to work with other companies on their terms, of course. But why not? But they've done more effort to acknowledge the other people exist. So, I'm curious to see how this goes. I'm ready for the jokes. And why not?
Yeah, I mean, there could be a lot of fun to be had in the whole situation. You that's know?
Said if Alexander wanted to get more work over, he'd fan let him come to work. If you know, Ta-Nehisi wanted to take the Nakamura route and just surf in NXT, why not? You know, you can have, like, just the fact that you can actually do it, it's just kind of like a wild time. But once Chris Jericho showed up on Stone Cold's podcast on the network, I'm like, anything's possible.
Oh, and, yeah. Yeah, that's a line that for sure, that's one of those ones that you would have never seen that crossed. Well, even, you don't even need to go back that far. Undertaker's like, oh, I'm going to go do Double or Nothing, or I always forget which one he was going to be at. When he was going to do the podcast alley gig. And the WWE's like, nope. And they...
We'll cut the check.
Yeah, we'll cut the check. Like, I mean, so it wasn't that long ago that the WWE maybe, yeah, was kind of at least actively trying to stay out or, you know, keep people away from that competition. Now it's just like, whatever, we know that it's, you know, that they're out there.
And they're going to be there. And it's yeah. Like, they're going to remind you that they are out there. I'm just about to mention Mark Henry is the alpha. It's funny, all those people they pissed off during that Legends run with Randy Orton just keep showing up in AEW. So, I see Mark Henry, I see The Big Show, I see Christian, and I'm like, you know, having Mark Henry as a commentator seems weird, because I'm not to say he's bad, I wouldn't think of him doing it, but why not?
Well,
he doesn't need to wrestle anymore. It's not my money. And if it makes the product better, we'll probably see on WWE will be fine. And to be fair, this competition always makes things better because it keeps people sharp. And he's already in the Hall of Fame, so you don't have to worry about getting in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's already punched his very well-deserved ticket there. Because there are times where I even forget how long he was in the WWE, because I want to say that was 2 decades, which...
Almost. I mean, started late 90s, ended mid-2010s, mid to late 2010s. So,
yeah.
I mean, time flies. Just think about how long some of these people have wrestled. Like, I was just kind of thinking, you know, when I see people like The Undertaker, and it's kind of like, they had wrestled for like almost a decade by the time the Attitude Era ended. They wrestled 20 more years. So it's kind of like, yeah. It's like time flies. And it's just kind of like, you know, I tell people all the time, time is funny on your memories and your brain. The Rock left WWE in his late 20s. First time. He wasn't even 30, like 27, 28. Just think about that. Then he had his prime. He was basically younger than when Batista basically started on the main roster. And he already went to Hollywood.
Yeah, that's it. The wife was a little bit surprised when she heard how old Batista was. Because he's been talking about not wanting to be shirtless Drax anymore.
Yeah, the older you get, the harder it is to keep looking like that. It's like it's a tough thing. Everyone yeah. out the Rock is going to travel somewhere with a home gym, no matter where they are. It's like, if you don't have to make money with your body, then don't do it. So, and I thought about age, because like Mick Foley was like, what, 34, 35 when he retired the first time?
He wasn't terribly old, no.
He had a lot of city miles. Did you watch that biography with Mick Foley?
I haven't watched any of the biographies yet.
It's interesting to watch. It's funny how people react to it, even though it's kind of like, it's not necessarily for our audience, more than like people who watch wrestling, but not like super deep. I forgot that him and Kevin James were childhood friends.
Yeah.
So seeing him pop up and talk to me like that. And one thing, you know how weird wrestling is? Why he let The Rock hit him? Like is The Rock really hit him with a chair? Like, how? And as I tried to explain the thought process, I realized how insane the question is. So I was just trying to say, well, they didn't know about brain damage back then. As in, if you hit somebody in the face with a chair, you're somebody that caused brain damage. Because we didn't live a CTE yet. Like, I'm like, yes, there's no way to explain this. It's not sound good. Well, they talked it out. They just was going, I mean, you got to hit him with a chair, because if you hit him half-assed, it's not going to look right. So you really got to hit him. And I'm sitting here explaining this. I'm like, you know what? This is bad shit to say.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty wild, honestly. That's one of those matches that still sticks out to me, because it's just like, no, seriously, like, I guess, you know, they did that type of stuff in ECW, but I don't remember it being that blatant.
No, it was, I mean, it was blatant, but not like once or twice.
Yeah.
Or The Rock, and I was like, The Rock was out here smiling and scrambling brain cells. Between Mankind and Ken Shamrock, I'm like, I'm somebody who alive. And what made it worse is that's when they had Beyond the Mat and they're filming, and you see his kids watching and crying. His wife about to have a nervous breakdown. Like, they left. Oh, and I'm like, yeah. The Undertaker, a man who threw that man off a cage, is like, well, I'm old school. I'm like, this made me feel uncomfortable. You know how bad it got me to make The Undertaker feel uncomfortable about violence in a match?
Yeah.
He drank off of with a motorcycle. Like, he is not cool. He is not a shrinking violence. And I remember watching this, and it's kind of like, yeah, matches like this, why they don't do stuff like this anymore. But it was just kind of like, this. Yeah, it's an interesting watch. And I know people make fun of Mick Foley for him, you know, having a high opinion of him. So I'm like, he should. He should have never made as high as he did. And everyone's saying this, like, you know, basically WWE, like, Vince McMahon's like, he gonna fail. He is sleazeball. His style is, like, degrading the sport. And he just a stunt man, and I don't see it. And then I get to know him, see how smart he is. And he just has a connection with the, like, someone who looks like him, that was pushed like him, should have never made it to where he did. Man became world champion, a best-selling author. And if I did all that in a sport with the Triple H's and the Rocks and Stone Cold, you damn right I would tell everybody every second I would brag about, because I earned it. So I used to kind of feel a certain way about Mick Foley. I don't mind. If he wants to brag about his career, let him brag. He earned that right.
He did have quite a career, and I guess it does kind of help that he stayed away for the most part. You know, yeah, he could have, for a while there, well, I guess for a while there, he was popping up too much. But, what, I'd say over the last 5 years, he's been largely gone from the WWE.
Yeah, you know, he'd pop up, he'd be Commissioner Rao, and then he'd be GM, so he had to fix his hip, and then went back home, and it's just kind of like, you know, every now and then you remember him, and it's like Steve Austin. It's like, you know, every now and then he'll show up, and then you don't think about it for a few years. Like, The Rock just vanished, and then came back, like, you know, 8 years later, and then he might pop up, like, once every 2 to 3 years. He's not one of those whole, oh, it's a Raw reunion show, let's bring the Road Dog back. Like, you know, like, oh, yeah, people was waiting to see the Repo Man and Sergeant Slaughter. It's like, it's not that. It's kind of like, make it seem, because he's, no offense to them, he's above that. And he should be treated special, because he is special. I seriously doubt we will ever have somebody, another Mick Foley. And I don't think we should. He would be the first one to say, I did this for my family, but I wouldn't recommend. Like, everyone basically told him, don't wrestle this way. And he himself tells people don't wrestle this way, because you don't want to be 40 years old and walking like you're riding a horse. But it's kind of like, you do what you need to take care of your family. That's what he made the price.
Yeah, that's Yeah. I mean, that's still one of those things where the Hell in a Cell, I remember that being one of our friends' first matches, and I'm like, you just should stop watching wrestling. Like, it's not going to get any more insane than that.
Yeah.
Just that match alone, like, if you didn't count that Royal Rumble match, well, those two matches just in and of themselves, like, you just wonder how much damage both of those did.
Yeah, well, Vince himself said, you know, thank you for what you did for my company, never do this again. Because it gets to a point where it's kind of like, you know, eventually you reach a point where you can't top it, and RIP New Jack, you see what happens when you try to top stuff like that. Like, it gets to, like, it no longer becomes pro wrestling. It becomes, you know, torture porn. And when I watched the Vice one about, what's his face, guy that does deathmatch wrestling, Nick Gage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. I have my limits. No, I don't want to see somebody get stabbed with a light, you know.
A light tube, yeah.
With a light tube. I don't see David Arquette look like he's about to get decapitated. Like, no, I don't. That's not the type of wrestling I want to see. And seeing these mad, and like seeing John Moxley all them do that, like to pay the bills. I'm like, look, however you want to feed your family. That's not, like, if I want to see that, I watch Saul. Like, I don't want to see Saul in my wrestling. I don't want to see Saul in my wrestling ring. And this man is like, you know, I have to promote this to the world. The world has limits on what they'll see, and I already post a lot of filthy stuff, but we can't be having snuff films on pay-per-view.
It's been a little bit surprising, honestly, that AEW has leaned into that market a little bit. I don't think they haven't gone full on in there.
I mean, yeah, because they're getting their exposures from Acme.
Well,
they,
I mean,
they have tried to wade in there, but I'm like, you know, oh, I'm gonna push Chris Jericho 50 feet onto a cushion, and you see it. Or I'm gonna have explosions. It's like, you're like, oh, the detonator got wet. So,
yeah.
I don't care what you do to a certain limit, as long as you do it correct, as long as you do it well. And I don't get caught up in the whole kayfabe thing. I know people got mad because Urban Meyer basically posted when he's watching it, like MJF next to Jericho, like, oh, you suspension of disbelief. I'm like, come on now. Are we still, like, that's the one thing I've always gave up pro wrestling once I had a certain age. It's bad enough that I'll watch this nonsense. And I'll play along. Don't talk to me like you got a lie. Like, no, do not do that. I know when people do not get sawed in half in real life either. I still enjoy magicians. Stop talking to me like you have to make me feel like I'm an idiot. Like, oh, well, you can't let people know what's really going on. It takes the appeal. I know The Undertaker can't really shoot lightning bolts. Otherwise, he would have never lost the match. Like, I know these people don't really hate. I've seen when people hate each other in real life. Because I heard Too Cold Scorpio basically say he wanted to pluck Hawk's eye out in Korea. And I've heard a story about Arn Anderson and Sid Vicious and Scissors. Like, so, I know how it can go when they really don't like each other. Sometimes people die. So you don't need to fake it. Like, you don't need to fool me like that. Like, I'm in my 40s. Come on now.
Like, yeah.
I watch Fast and Furious. I know that shit ain't real. It doesn't need to be. So we don't have to stand on ceremony. I'll tell people all the time, I worry about this. Like, okay, Mr. Kayfabe man, Mr. Tradition man, explain to me the physics of an Irish whip. And if you can do that, I'll go along with you. Because why can't they just stop? Or just grab them? Oh.
That will never get solved by anyone making that argument. I venture to guess. Because there isn't any way to solve that one.
Momentum. I'm like, okay, you're going to use momentum. How come if you hit somebody with a drop kick, it hurts them? If you miss, it hurts you.
Yeah.
So, like I said,
that is a favorite.
So, what other wrestling have you watched this week?
I'm still watching pretty much too much everything. Because I can't really, I'm trying to remember, like, I end up joining SmackDown late half the time, these days, because the wife and I usually are watching something else, because I think I dropped into this one halfway through, because I missed the Usos and, the Riot Squad.
The maniac Michael Corleone, Roman Reigns.
not completely.
That's the thing. Roman Reigns is this whole, I pretend to be relaxed and cool and a tough guy. He's insane. Like, Roman, that's his whole thing. Roman Reigns is insane. And he's just doing his best to hide how crazy he is. And every now and then, a little bit peeps out. You know how I know? Because Paul Heyman is terrified to say anything wrong around him. And this is a man who managed Brock Lesnar. And when he managed Brock, he was afraid of what Brock would do to people. When he's with Roman Reigns, he's afraid of what Roman Reigns might do to him. Because he sees what he does to his family. And this whole thing with the tag, you know, you got the nerve, you want to be a tag with your brother. You know, you want to go backwards, they're going to forget which one you are. I guess you want to then go ahead, and then they, you know, they get the number one contender spot, and it goes back to Roman Reigns, and his lip is quivering, and he's just looking like Michael Corleone looked when Kate said she had an abortion. he's about to snap, and I love it. Like, it's been a long time since we've had a layered heel that's a maniac. He's not doing a whole bunch of screaming and shouting. So the thing is, I'm doing all this to feed the family and take care of Fox. That's why I'm champion. So all y'all can eat. It's a lot of work. Y'all can't do it. And y'all don't know how to do it. So I'm doing it. And all I ask you to do is appreciate it. And you can't even do that. You damn big greats.
Yeah, Roman is really the most entertaining thing going in wrestling, I think. At the current moment. Like, he's just that. Yeah, he doesn't need to yell to get his point across or to be a dickhead. You know, he doesn't need to cheat to win matches to be a dickhead. He's just an asshat constantly.
And just in a subtle way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it makes sense to be like, why is he treating the Usos like this is his family? And it's like, oh, you know, I guess you want to go ahead slumming to be a tag team, but you should have asked me for permission first. Remember who made you main event, Jay? It wasn't your punk ass brother. I guess. Who says that? But a gaslighted sociopath boyfriend. That's what Roman Reigns come all bad. It's like, oh, look at his dress. Kind of fat, but you know, we don't call people fat in 2021. You want to brace those curves. I would have ate a salad, but I guess we could go with it and then wink.
Oh man,
yes, yeah, so I enjoy it. And it's this funny contrast in the champions because, on one hand, Roman Reigns is Michael Corleone, on the other hand, Bobby Lashley is the coolest man alive. Why would I root against him? He's a badass. He has an awesome manager. He has women who like him. Like, he's coming out with five glorious, beautiful women of all shades. That's like, oh, we love the champ. Man, he's just there chilling in the back on the couch. Like, I don't care who win. I'm beating whoever. And punk-ass Drew McIntyre talking that trash like, oh, you afraid of me. Why? He beat you twice. Why is he like, why would Lashley be afraid of you? Like, I like this. It's just hilarious, this whole thing. It's like, I love when they have wrestlers actually seem cool. Lashley looks cool. Like, he's a big man. Women like him. Men want to be him. He dresses sharp as hell. And he can beat your ass. And MVP will be there and let you know all these things. I'm going to root for Drew McIntyre because he got a sword. If you say so, I'm gonna, I guess if we, you know, if he's fighting someone, if he's a Highlander, that's sort of coming handy. Other than that, nah, sorry.
Hey, you would have been able to do this for a while, but not now. Bobby Lashley has really taken that turn to being cool. Honestly, once he got rid of Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin.
Which was a detriment in the beginning, but actually turned out, you know, to be awesome, because it's kind of like they booked him to be, what, if you combine Lex Luger and Ric Flair, which is a hell of a combination, because it's kind of like, this man comes out with five glorious women the past few weeks, and they all, and they're on Instagram. So, you know, they got a hashtag, Lashley's Ladies.
Oh, I did not realize this.
Wow. And MVP's there, look like a proud dad, and I'm like, why am I rooting against? Like, you're not giving me any reason to root against Bobby Lashley at all. He can wrestle. He has a great story. He put the work in. He's been there for a long time, came back, worked his way up. He's a badass. He looks like a comic book hero. And he's cool. He dresses cool. He carries himself cool. And it's like, you know, I get to see Drew and Kofi fight for the chance to get beat up by Lashley. Like, yeah, Drew had his time. I don't need to see that again. And although I didn't want to see Kofi get tossed around like a lawn dart. Say that for SummerSlam. I have the feeling like somebody else is going to be here for SummerSlam. His initials are BL.
Oh. Yeah, I was, that is one thing that should not go without mention. Kofi Kingston has really turned into one of the better promo guys. And I'm not sure how much that gets said, but he killed that promo on Monday.
He has the gravitas to pull that off. People just think about he's all... It's funny, the New Day is how, like, one thing you have noticed lately is, one, how good Kofi is on the mic, and two, how good Xavier Woods is in the ring.
Oh.
And it's kind of like, so, like, Xavier Woods can go, like, and it's kind of like you never really thought about that, because it's kind of like, Kofi is Kofi. He's basically Black Ricky Steamboat. Biggie is an X-Man. So Xavier Woods is all like that third guy. Like, Xavier Woods can wrestle. He's athletic. He's strong. They just never gave him a chance to. Now they're giving him a chance to. It's like, wow. The New Day is more than just a group. They can stand on their own as individuals. So seeing them getting this shine is awesome. And seeing the respect, you know, Kofi and Drew shake hands, and that's good. I'm just at the point where it's like, there's nothing wrong with Drew McIntyre. It's like, you've just been there and done that.
Oh, yeah. I was a little bit surprised that people thought that Kofi might get this chance, because, you know, with Hell in a Cell being the pay-per-view, it seemed obviously more ticketed to Drew and Bobby Lashley to completely close the door on their feud, but I kind of question, like, if you want to keep Drew McIntyre as a babyface at the top of your roster, having him lose a third consecutive time to Bobby Lashley is not really the way to do it.
Yeah, well, he's not going to win. So, I mean, it's kind of like, damn if you do, damn if you don't. It seems like they're saving Kofi Kingston for later. And I think one of the issues with WWE in general, like, all their brands is kind of like, they have strong champions, but you only see a challenger. Like, it's kind of like, none of them are going to lose a title now. And it's kind of like, you got basically finding disposable, they don't have a lot of disposable challengers. It's kind of like, you don't believe, like, Drew McIntyre is important, but he's not going to win. I'm assuming they want to say Kofi Kingston. And I assume they have something big for SummerSlam, but, like, beyond them, like, who else is there? It ain't going to be Braun Strowman again. It's like, that's even worse than Drew McIntyre. There's nobody else on Raw. And SmackDown is like, who's on Challenge Roman Reigns? Besides John Cena. Like, Yeah. Like, it's... until they build somebody up, it's kind of like they've been so good as champions where it's kind of like they kind of run it. Like, either the challengers aren't ready yet or they already beat the challengers.
Yeah, because, I mean, you could argue for Big E to keep on the New Day theme, but he, A, doesn't seem ready, and B, definitely seems to be in for a feud with Aleister Black in the near future and not the title picture.
Yeah, I have a feeling the Big E thing is next year. But it's kind of like next year is a long time from now. You know, we just hit June. What are you going to do between June and April of 2022? And that's kind of like the thing. Like, you can always get somebody run and elevate somebody. You can always move people around from show to show. But I think WWE is this funny spot where they have a lot of people, but they don't have a lot of stuff to do for a lot of these people. Where it's kind of like, you know, NXT, everyone has their place and everyone has a chance. Like, you know what they're doing, and there's never a point where it's like, I don't know who's going to fight for what. Sometimes it's like you have too many people. WWE is kind of reversed, where it's like, you know, you got 3-4 people in a certain spot. Everybody else is kind of messed around. Like, people made fun, like Natalya and Tamina being tag champ. Like, at least they're doing something, because the women's division is like, it's just awkward is the best way to describe it. Like, you have a bunch of women doing stuff, but the champs don't really seem to have challenges that don't seem stale. And most of the fun stuff comes from the tag team champions, and that has nothing to do with, like, you know, it's like the tag division. Because the champions, you know, people like Tamina, people like Natalya, because they've been there for a long time. And they're, contrary to what internet people think, Natalya and Tamina come off as like, I know some people may find that hard to believe, me included, but they do. Nia Jax and Shayna are like this great odd couple, even when Shayna is basically murdering Reginald and threatening the same thing to Alexa Bliss. But as far as like the titles, it's kind of like, you know, Bianca's fine, feuding with Bayley.
Oh, yeah.
Rhea Ripley just feel like it's like, okay, she going to even wrestle Asuka again, or she going to wrestle Charlotte again? Like, it was already old when it happened at Mania, and we're still doing it.
And it's still going to go on for at least a little while. Because, yeah, I mean, it's not like the women's division didn't get a whole lot better. They just don't have any. Like, NXT does a good job of kind of having people on TV for a few weeks in a row, and then they get, like, a week off, and then, you know, they kind of stay on TV for a little while. But the WWE doesn't do a good job of cycling through people like that. The main roster just... Because the...
There's a secret to WWE women. You know what it is? Nearly all of them have been there for, like, at least 6 years. And some are, like, you know, Charlotte and Bayley, they have been there for a long-ass time. I know it just seemed like they just, like, they were here back, like, the Bella Twins and Alicia Fox and, you know, Paige were still wrestling when they started that. It was a long time ago. They're still there. Like, and it's kind of like, it gets to a point where, okay, like, I have seen enough of them. There's no way, like, you know, Becky Lynch just being a mom. Sasha Banks is chilling because it's like, you know, I'm just killing time until I become a TV star, movie star. Charlotte, it's like, it's just nothing. Like, she's been there. She's done everything. And just her name just brings up bad memories. Like, oh, here we go with the Charlotte Flair thing again. And it's kind of like, you know, but then Naomi and my baby boy, it's like, okay, you see freshen up Carmella again. Like, she's been there and done that. You're going to freshen up, you know, this is the reason, like, to me, you got to push because you don't have anything else. You could give the Riot Squad a chance, but they've been there a long time. You know, like, Rhea feels fresh. Bianca Belair feels fresh. Everybody else feels like they've just been there for a long time doing the same old thing. And I'm just waiting for the victory over Eva Marie finally starts wrestling because, well, man. Yeah, people complaining now. I'm like, you have not seen anything. Like, at least NXT is like everything is fresh and they move people around. So even people have been there for a while, they don't feel played out. WWE's like, they all feel played out.
Even the women that are good feel played out. And Charlotte Flair started in 2015. When she won her first Divas Championship. So, yeah, 6 years.
It's 2021. And it's like, I remember when they first started, it's not that long ago, but I'm like, we've had a whole generation of women that started. And it's kind of like NXT, they had the advantage of kind of like, you're there, swap. Like, you may not be there long, you might be able to be there forever. Most of the time, it's like you're either gonna make it or you're not gonna be anymore, and you graduate. It's like Ember Moon, you go there, it doesn't work, you come back. But even Ember Moon feels fresh because he's doing something different. There's no one on WWE besides Bianca Belair that, like, even Rhea Ripley's at the point, like, she's gonna come here, stomp her foot, and talk a bunch of trash. Charlotte gonna get mad. Gonna watch this repeat, and Alexa Bliss with this hocus pocus nonsense. Shannon choke his ass out. What's the end of this?
I just need more.
This shit don't work with women. It don't. It's just no.
Well, it's just so. It all feels kind of lame. There isn't any, it's not directly costing someone the match, or it's not maiming them to kind of create the opponent. Like, she's doing very subtle things to screw with them, and A, they seem like dumbasses for not realizing that it's Alexa Bliss, or B, they don't seem to care about her either, like what she's doing to them. Like, it's a weird combination that they have going on with that storyline. Well, that and Reginald is still the middle of the women's division, so that is not helping at all.
Wow. And how did that happen? It started Carmella, and it just infected every single person. Like, it doesn't matter what you, like, it's this little bite, this little footy man coming out. Oh, just here to have a good time. Oh, it fireworks in your face. Oh, no. And I is like, oh, my boo, my baby, he's blind. Shane is just looking around like, what is this? Like, I like Shane being told, I have had enough nonsense. I'm going to put a stop to it. And her put a stop to me, I'm going to choke you out. So I like that they finally using Shayna Baszler as kind of like a bully. Does this bully people regardless of gender? So, because, ask Rey Mysterio about that, he'll tell you. I need to watch that Money in the Bank. That Money in the Bank match one day again. That was fun. Even though it's like, they wrestling in like Titan Power. I don't care what anyone said, that was a fun ass match. Yes, I know Rey Mysterio should have died when they threw him off the top of the building. But it was still enjoyable.
He just fell down to another roof, Shahid. I think that's how they properly cleared that up, which is possible. If they're on top of the mechanical room, there probably would be space there to throw someone down on top of.
Well, as long as he didn't fall in front of Mr. Manikov. So, that's all that matters. But no, WWE is in a weird place where it's kind of like they have stuff going on. They're about to add fans again, which is good. Fans do bring things to it. I'm just wondering his reactions will change for the better or worse when fans are there. Because I have the feeling that Roman Reigns will become a lot more likable when fans are there. And they cannot just, you know, manipulate fans booing them. And I have the feeling that Bobby Lashley will also become more likable because of, like, you're not going to be a badass that got women that can kick people ass. Just because, you know, Drew McIntyre, oh, I got me sore, and I fight, and I was poor, and now I'm not. I got muscles, too.
Yeah.
Like I saw WrestleMania, and they, you know, some people were cheering Drew, but some people were booing him, too. So.
He just needs more to his character, too. Like, he kind of needs to move beyond that. Like, it was a nice story to tell with Sheamus, but he's still kind of rolling with that. And
I love Sheamus. I guess we can wrap up with that. just like a Guy Ritchie character, just beating up little people.
I when someone said, "Oh no, that was someone else." Never mind. He's gone with that dress-up character so much now that I'm not goofing on it. I'm like, okay, he's just really trying to make this 1930s gangster look really, really stick here, huh?
It works. Because he stuck to it. I'm like, it is those. I mean, because he looks like he would fit in that time period. That's what makes it fun. He would fit right in, and he just carried himself like, you know, Sheamus has always been great. You know, he's been a fine baby. He's a bully. Sheamus' whole thing has been, I'm a big bully, and I like bullying people. Let you know I'm a bully, you know, your little wee little man, and kick you in the face, and had his little smirk. And him feuding with Ricochet and Humberto Carrillo works because it's like they have high-flying styles. They're enjoying the ring. Their personality is kind of like that. And Ricochet has shown more passion dealing with Sheamus than he has shown a long time. Even though when he put on that jacket, I'm like, yes, this is basically man putting on his daddy's coat. Wow. But I laughed when he put it on and started doing the moonwalking down like Michael Jackson. That was funny. Sheamus just loses his mind. Like, this is just a travesty, just made it better. Silly stuff like that, but it's kind of like, I just enjoy it. So, I like stuff like that, because it's like, it doesn't have to be the whole show. You know, I don't need the series. That's some fun.
That's one of those good mid-card things to have going on. Like, Sheamus is, well, hopefully going to actually help elevate two guys that have, let's say, had their problems trying to get elevated.
It's like they have push and pull, and it's kind of like, I'm sure I'd rather deal with that than Drew Gulak getting a rose kicked in his ass by Angel Garza. So, I still laugh at that. I'm sorry. Because just the fact that he said he was going to do it and actually did it, and it kept replaying, I'm like, yeah, well, I got to pay for this house somehow. But no, I like stuff like that. I like Nakamura, you know, doing his thing. Although I would have never guessed on a Friday I'm watching SmackDown like, oh shit, it's Bugenhagen.
Oh, Ricky Boogs.
And I'm like, I remember him. Even though I never saw him in a man, like, this is the guy next to you always, you know, squatted 500 pounds and did air guitar.
I can't believe he's, it seems like a good idea in the WWE to learn how to play an instrument because they're going to throw you on TV one way or the other.
It adds to it, and it's fun. It's kind of like, it helps that he can actually, like, look, it helped Xavier Woods, it helped Elias. So,
yep.
You can have a skill, like, oh, that's good, pal, I'll put this on TV, win there. And, like, stuff like that is fun.
Yeah.
We don't have to have an up and down the car, but that's for one reason why, like, NXT is perfect with that. They have their comedy, they have their serious stuff, and they just have their wrestling stuff. Like, NXT, perfect example. I was wondering what that whole thing with Mercedes Martinez and, you know, Zali came from. And this week, Zali was like, yeah, Mae Young Classic 4 years ago, she embarrassed me. I'm getting revenge. Wow. I forgot they actually wrestled in the first Mae Young Classic. It's like, long-term storytelling. It's like, you dishonor me, make me look bad in front of my family, my country, and I ain't forget.
Yeah, I did see that right before we flipped on to record here, and I'm like, damn, man, that's holding on to grudge. Oh man, that was killing me. Oh man,
that's why they gave it a Bart like she's ready to enter the Mortal Kombat tournament. I'm like, why is they having to do it? And it makes perfect, like, in the realm of storytelling, it makes perfect sense. Give them a reason for them to do that, and NXT is perfect of doing little things like that. Give you a reason to care about that. Who would I guess one of the best views would involve Ted DiBiase? It does. They've been doing it. Now they added LA Knight, who people say would have been perfect, just like 1987 or 1994. But
no, yeah, unfortunately, it's 2021.
Yeah, I mean, I called him, CrossFit, Salmon Sandwich Miz. Like, if Miz was in better shape, it would basically be him. It's just kind of like a funny thing where it's just a throwback character that would not do well on the main roster at all. So we saw with EC3 and Bobby Roode. It's like, some stuff is NXT only. And for his sake, I hope he stays there as long as he can and just makes as much money as he can. But it's like him and Cameron Grimes and Ted DiBiase is fun. The stuff with The Way and Dexter Lumis and is fun. Raquel Gonzalez. I'll go wrap up. Is Raquel Gonzalez a babyface ordeal?
That is one that they have thrown into question here a little bit recently because, she's done nothing but whoop people. You know, she hasn't really used. Dakota Kai used her to win, but it hasn't really worked in reverse, which it shouldn't. Because Raquel Gonzalez.
Although Dakota did jump Ember Moon from behind tonight after she was fighting Raquel. After calling her out, after they got mollywopped last week after winning the tag match. Oh, poor Shotzi. Yeah, they were some sources. Shotzi through the damn ringer. But it's kind of like building from last week. Because it's kind of like, Raquel was beefing with Mercedes Martinez. Mercedes Martinez is a heel. And they're putting like Raquel Gonzalez. It's like she's a Kevin. They book Raquel Gonzalez like she's tweener Kevin Nash. Like, if she's facing the heel, she'll be a hero. If she's facing that baby face, she'll be a heel. And it's just weird because they're kind of doing the same thing with Karrion Kross. Although.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of Karrion Kross?
There's some stuff, like, I guess I like his wrestling. The entrance is okay to me. Like, I guess I should like it more than I do. Like, it's fun, but it doesn't get me, like, the demon entrance, or I'm trying to think of some of the other fun NXT entrances.
Bobby Roode.
Yeah, his was probably a little more fun than that. Like, and I do think that that's another one where the whole TikTok thing hasn't ever, to me, been explained quite well enough.
I have two problems with Karrion Kross. And one of the problems is basically what Adam Cole kind of stated out. It's like, smoke and mirrors. Like, the funny thing about Adam Cole promo tonight is like, normally heels kind of lie. He didn't lie that much when it came to Karrion Kross. Basically saying, like, you got the woman, you got the smoke, you got the entrance. And all I got to do is just come out and say, I'm Adam Cole. People think I'm special. And you got to do all this fancy stuff to do all of that. And it's, I'm like, yeah, like this. He doesn't seem that he doesn't come off as special to me. And it's that whole thing where it's like, yeah, you look big when you're wrestling a bunch of people 5'8". Like, the first time we were in the main roster, and Shane was looking at Shane going laughing. I'm like, oh, you're a tough guy? Like, I saw the same thing.
You know what? I was a little bit surprised, because Chris mentioned that. I think he is, like, 6'5", or something like that, though.
But he doesn't look like he's 6'5".
He does not look 6'5".
Yeah, is. Like, he looks like, you know, he has that Lars Sullivan vibe, where it's like Lars Sullivan looked big until he got on the main roster. It's like, yeah.
Oh.
In a ring with a bunch of small dudes, you're going to look like a giant.
Yeah.
Once, you know, like, I saw him in a ring with Keith Lee. Keith Lee looked big. Karrion Kross looked smaller than Keith Lee. And that's, and it's kind of like, and then the other stuff is just kind of like, eh. His wrestling seemed plain. Like, okay, he beat people with a stardom suplex that Saray does. Like, there's nothing special about him in the, like, he's in the ring, it's how, like, he keeps up with people, but he's wrestling a bunch of people that's a lot better than him. Like, he doesn't come off as special. He comes off as, like, y'all telling me he's special because he's got a pretty girlfriend and some goofy-ass music. Alright. And it's fine until Adam Cole basically says the same thing. Well, Pete Dunne is like, oh, we got the smoke and mirrors. I'll still beat his ass. He ain't nothing special. Like, you got all these little guys saying he ain't nothing special. And I'm like, I can't really disagree. So, but I'm just wondering, they going to have a 5-way match?
No.
Beat all of them? Like, who are they going to have to beat?
Yeah, that, I'm like, that's just a bad look for the other four guys. You know, to not have someone else win that match. You know, it's one thing when it's a 3-way match and you just know, oh, well, whatever, the title holder's going to hold on to it. Either that or they're going to screw them, which doesn't happen terribly frequently, where they don't. Well, I was going to say, didn't someone just, how many people have lost their belts not getting pinned? I guess I feel like the next challenger is usually the one that doesn't get pinned, but it's not the champion.
Yes, that's how it normally goes.
So, there's no good way.
You don't tend to have a lot of multi-man matches with the world, with the main title. It's like, it's more like a North. They know they have the American title, not the main one. It's kind of like, it might be one-on-one or at most a 3-way. You got 5. And it's like, and then they make a character call. Oh, I could beat these 4 little guys. What are they going to do with me? They're bitches. They should be working at the gas station. They can't beat me. And I'm like, they can all wrestle better than this. It's like, that's the funny thing. Is like, he tried to play this whole size thing like he's Brock Lesnar. I'm like, psh. Like, that shit is not going to... I would love to see him versus Walter, although I would be mad if they had Walter lose. But beyond that, it's like Karrion Kross really does not do anything for me, but I know why they push him. He's got the size, he's got the look, and it's just funny that Lucha Underground Jobber is now NXT champion. Yes. That's exactly what he was, part of the Bunny Tribe. Look at him now.
Oh, good for him. I didn't realize he'd, the first time I caught him was, Impact. So, I did not see him in the Bunny Tribe.
Yes. A lot of Lucha Underground veterans just wormed their way up, and I shed a tear every time I see Pentagon Jr. just being awesome for, and not being appreciated in AEW. It brings a tear in my eye, but that's fine. I guess we get in with that, just saying that. It could be better. It could be a lot worse. I'm just curious to see what happens.
Okie dokie. Well, bell time beer for this very show. I drove out east to Granville to grab some Dankhouse Stayberry Puffed Sour Ale with raspberries, sweet cherries, and natural marshmallow flavor. I don't know what natural marshmallow flavor is, but it does kind of have a marshmallow vibe to it, and it is extremely tasty. And Dankhouse makes some very, very good beers, and I think they deliver in Ohio still at this point. So if you get the chance and you happen to be in the listening range, I would highly suggest any of a number of beers from Dankhouse. That is the suggestion from at DeFrango11. I always let at Philly Drugs do the close for this very show, so have the floor, sir.
For Kevin DeFrango, I am Shahid Duhati. It is good to be back, and we are out.